Welcome to the Marketing That Generates podcast, hosted by yours truly, Lauren Powell. For over a decade, I've partnered with business owners around the globe to create and implement their digital marketing strategy. Working together with their teams, we generate more leads, more customers, and more revenue. I'm here to make your business growth simpler by making online marketing simpler. Every week, I'll be interviewing other business owners about the strategies that are keeping their marketing relevant in the long term, so they're not hammered by monthly algorithm adjustments. So are you ready to generate more leads, better leads, and more sales-ready leads online while making the most of your oh-so-valuable time? Then this is the podcast for you. Are you tired of being promised the magic pill that's going to solve all your online marketing challenges? Well, this podcast does not promise quick overnight fixes, nor a one-size-fits-all marketing formula. Instead, it will empower you to think differently and more strategically about your marketing so that you get better results. So whether you're a business owner, solopreneur, or an aspiring entrepreneur, listen in and subscribe for zero fluff and actionable takeaways. And for bonus resources, go to marketingthatgenerates.com. In our current podcast series, I interview the owners of four very different web development businesses, and we dive deep into their marketing. Today's episode is the second of that series, and I interview Keisha White, based in Atlanta, Georgia. Keisha has a unique niche, helping service providers, coaches, and consultants attract high-end clients through their websites. And honestly, I think the problem she solves for her clients is incredible. Essentially, it's how do I make more money through my website and branding? In this episode, Keisha shares her journey from corporate B2B sales to starting her own design and development business. She also explains what's working in her marketing, what's starting to become a challenge due to social media algorithms, and what she's doubling down on. Make sure to visit the show notes to get all the links for this episode. Keisha, I am so pumped to have you here. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, and before I dive in to some of my questions for you, do you have a good Netflix show that I should be watching? Because I don't watch TV all that much, but when I do, I binge pretty hard.
I do too. So I will say it's a little dorky, but I really liked Fear Street.
I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, it was supposed to be kind of horror, but it wasn't super scary. It was kind of reminded me of Stranger Things a little bit, but with a more of a horror twist to it. But that was interesting. I got through those kind of quick. So.
Awesome. Okay, I will add that to my list. Thank you. So you've built this awesome business helping consultants, coaches, and service providers build brands that attract high-end clients. Can you share a little bit more about your approach to branding and website design and why this is such an important emphasis in your work?
Yeah, well, my approach to it is definitely to keep my clients' goals in mind and like keeping their business goals in mind. Like what are they trying to accomplish in their businesses? And then what do they want to accomplish with their marketing? And like, how do they want to come across to their target customers and target clients? So that way, everything that I'm creating with their website and the brand design is just designed to communicate the right message and then to kind of give off the right perception about them. And then to just help them to have a presence online that's set up to guide people to take the actions that they want people to take on their website. So, yeah, so that's the overall approach. It's really a business focused approach and like a goal focused approach there.
I love that because so often business owners think they need or they voice that they need a better looking website, but they don't always communicate that underlying need, which is I want a website that brings me more business and I want a website that brings me higher end clients. So I just love that you take like you close that gap for someone. And I just think it's a really beautiful niche for you to focus on.
Yeah. It's definitely been helpful for sure to create, I don't know, something that's more unique to each client too, when I actually take the time to get that information and something that where they can kind of come back later and be like, yeah, I'm getting inquiries. So it's actually working. So yeah, so I love to get that good feedback on it after we finish up working together.
I bet. And, you know, one of the easiest ways for a consultant, coach, or service provider to generate more revenue is to raise their prices. And so can you share a little bit more about what goes into a brand that's going to attract premium clients?
Yeah. So the biggest piece first is just knowing who are they trying to, I guess, go after for their premium clients. And then really designing around to attract those types of people. Because like a quick example, like I tend to work with different career coaches, but some of them are different in their personalities and their approach to career coaching. So like one coach, she definitely wanted to work with like millennials and Gen Z. So we in tech, so we had more of like this youthful, just fun feel that kind of matched that whole like youthful feel that you would feel in a tech company. So that's one big piece too, just making sure it feels customized for the people that they want to attract. And then the next piece is making sure the language on the website is very strategic too. So I don't write the copy. I do have a copywriter I'll get clients in touch with if they want copy written for them. But then if not, I do give them a website copy outline that kind of outlines the sections that they should be including on the website. So it has the right information to be persuasive. Because sometimes people are too vague on there where they'll just jump straight into what their packages are. And it's like, what was the lead up to kind of position the packages? Are you going to show them what the benefits are of your services? Are you going to talk about the pain points to connect with the target client to show them that, yes, they are in the right place? So that's a big part too, is just being very strategic with the language to kind of help them sell themselves better. And I guess the final piece would definitely be just making sure the design of the branding is just done in an elevated, polished way too. And then the way the pictures are done, like I tend to make picture recommend photo photography shoot recommendations for clients to just make sure they have a very, very polished look. Because when you're trying to go after a higher end client too, the quality of the look matters a lot. And sometimes people kind of overlook that and they may have lower quality photos, or if they try to DIY the design looks a lot lower quality or it looks very amateur. So when it's a nice, polished, professional, elevated look, then that definitely helps with the perception that they're a high-end brand that should be attracting high-end clients too.
Definitely. Like, I don't want to pay Four Seasons prices when I'm walking into a Motel 6,
yeah,
right?
Oh, yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So there's a certain look you kind of expect when you're going to like a Four Seasons versus like the Motel 8.
yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. So can you tell us a little more about your services and how your clients work with you?
Yeah, so the way they work with me, I call it like a very collaborative process as we work together. So my primary package, it's a package that includes a brand strategy as the first stage, and then brand design, and then website design. So for the brand strategy piece, I'll have a kickoff client call for a 2-hour like workshop style call where we go through this series of questions to kind of uncover the clients, like who are their target clients, like making client avatars, uncovering like brand attributes, like words they would use to describe their brand, helping them get clarity on like what are their brand goals and everything in that area. And then we talk a little bit about their processes and like marketing and things in that area to make sure I know what to connect to the website. Like, do you need a podcast feed? How are you going to collect leads on the website? What's the next step you want people to take, like set an appointment or fill out a form? So making sure we kind of have a nice user flow planned for the site too. And so that's our foundation where we talk back and forth through that full call. And then from there, we go into brand design where we do the mood board, color palette, fonts, brand logos and symbols and icons, and even brand patterns. And then for all of that stuff too, I present it through screen share, like through Zoom with the client, so I can get their feedback verbally, like when they look at everything for the first time. So I love doing that because then that kind of adds to the collaborative piece. So it's like, okay, they can give me some real-time feedback that's verbal, because sometimes things can get miscommunicated through email and through messages when it comes to design too. So that verbal feedback helps so much, especially with cutting down on revisions and and that type of stuff too. Then the final piece is the website design piece. So leading up to that, I do previews of each page of the website so the clients can see what each page is going to look like before we build it out. And then I do a quick presentation for that as well, so I can get the real-time feedback and make sure we have everything included on the page that they need. And that's pretty much it. At the end, we go off and do the launch and then give them a training, and then we're all done. So
that just sounds so comprehensive, and like your clients are in such good hands because you're really leading them every step of the way. And I love that real-time feedback, because design feedback can get really lost in translation over mm-hmm. email. So I just think that's such a beautiful process and two really great services. So it sounds like someone can work with you just on the branding piece or on the branding and website design if they want both. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
So let's say someone's listening to this podcast and they're wondering, is my business ready for Keisha to help with new branding and a new website? When would you suggest someone is ready for your services?
So I suggest that they're ready, like once they have clarity on the types of clients and like opportunities they want to attract. So like knowing what are your service packages going to be, who do you primarily want to work with that package. Then like if you're trying to attract corporate clients or something like that, like what types of companies do you want to speak to? Do you want to speak to corporate? Do you want to speak to universities? And just being clear there. And then, like I said, being clear on the packages too, because shockingly, I used to sometimes get people who didn't even know what their packages were going to be and they wanted to build a website. And I'm like, what are we even going to put on the website if you don't know what your packages are yet? So I'm like, you need to have some clarity there on what you're selling and who you're going to be selling it to or who you would ideally want to sell it to. That's the biggest piece.
Yeah. And are there certain pain points that they might be experiencing that would let someone know like, yeah, it's time for me to up level my branding and my website?
Yeah. So a few of the things I've heard from people who've hired me, like one thing is like if their business is shifting a little bit, so they want to like release a new coaching program or like they're taking releasing a new book, or maybe they're trying to, I don't know, just match their look of their website with the quality of their expertise after maybe years of working in their business and working with the lower quality, maybe DIY website or maybe a cheaper website. So now they're ready for something new that matches, that looks like that higher end experienced expert that's going to match the quality of their new program that they're launching or new book and that type of thing. So that's definitely one. And then a second scenario I see sometimes is if people say they're getting bad inquiries, like lower quality inquiries of people who aren't serious or people who are kind of trying to price haggle them. Or maybe people, one client one time, she said people thought her website was a blog and didn't even know she had any services for sale because of like the way the website looked. It was just confusing. So if you're finding your inquiry quality is a lot lower, sometimes it's how you're perceived through your website and you need to elevate that website so you can elevate the quality of your inquiries too. So yeah, so to me, those would be the top two. And then I guess the final one, maybe if you're just feeling out of alignment with your current website and brand, like maybe it's something old and you're like, this doesn't speak to who I am anymore or what I do anymore. And I just want a fresh start and a fresh change. So that's probably like a third scenario there.
That's amazing. And I think it really helps someone put themselves in a bucket of, am I experiencing this or not? Because as you well know, a rebrand and a web design project is not a small project. So you really want to make sure you're ready for it and, you know, can get your vendor or you, if they're working with you, everything they need in a timely manner so things can move along smoothly. So you get the outcome you want, which is presumably better inquiries and more sales on the back end of that. So I think that's really helpful for anyone listening.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely.
So Keisha, you started your business, I believe, in 2018. If I misstated that, please correct me. But what inspired you to venture off on your own after such a long corporate career in B2B sales?
Yeah. So working in sales, it was not the ideal career for me at all. I just literally did it because when I got out of college, it was really tough for me to just land any corporate job, period, because my degree was in marketing. So really, I would have preferred to work in marketing, but I could not get hired for marketing anywhere. So then I ended up working in sales instead, and I never even enjoyed it or anything, just did it strictly just for the money. So always in my spare time, I was always just kind of looking for like an alternate career path or just like, what else could I do? Or what career switch could I make? And then eventually I started a blog and then I designed my own website for the blog. And then that kind of exposed me to web design. And then at the time, I was also kind of thinking like, it would be cool to have a virtual business to where I didn't have to be in a certain place at a certain office 8 hours a day every day. And so I was like, oh, this web design skill could probably be a skill that I could offer to people that would allow me to work virtually too. So I kind of did it on the side for about three, four years or so, kind of off and on. I wasn't super consistent when I was in my 9-to-5. But then once I had this last sales job where I had kind of been job hopping too, from like, which is kind of common in tech sales too. People have new jobs like almost every year. And yeah, I was just kind of tired of going through that. I'm like, oh my God, I'm like rotating through jobs every year. And this was like the job had started off great and made a lot of money with good commission checks. And but then towards the end, something went wrong. And then everybody's quitting and looking for jobs again. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired of this cycle. So So at that point, I was like, okay, I can either stay on the cycle, the treadmill, and get another sales job like all of my coworkers are going to do, or I can go off on my own and try these web design skills out and see how that works. So I just decided to give it a shot since I had some money saved at that point from the commission checks from sales. And then it worked out. So, yeah, so that was kind of the short version.
That's amazing. And, you know, there's something about knowing what you don't want that helps you figure out what you do, want. But even though you didn't like sales, I'm sure you had a lot of valuable learning lessons on the back end of that that really helped you kickstart your business because, you know, selling can be the lifeblood of your business. And I bet goes a long way for you now.
Yeah, that is true. Because like once I was out doing my business full time, I was kind of used to the whole professional process of like having somebody sign a contract and invoice. And I'm like, I was just so used to that from sales. I'm like, you're not booked unless you sign a contract. So all those like little processes were normal for me. And then even the flow of sales calls and stuff like that was typical because I had already been doing that already. So it definitely gave me some more comfort with handling all the sales activities.
Yeah, or even often I hear people say like they're not super comfortable promoting themselves. And I'm guessing that was not an issue for you because you've been selling for 10 years.
Yeah, and always following up with people. Yeah, because I would be in sales, they would just expect you to follow up until you basically get blocked or something. So I'm like, yeah, following up with people is no problem for me. It's like I'm used to the follow up process and I don't feel like I'm bothering people to follow up because sometimes you do get a sale and people just kind of put it on the back burner. They forgot about you and you follow up and then they're ready to buy. So, yeah.
Yeah. I love hearing people's kind of entrepreneurial journey stories because everyone comes from such a different place. But like when you look backwards, it's easy to kind of like connect the dots and see, oh, that's how you got there. But when you're in it, it's super hard to be like, what's next? Where am I going? How do I start this?
Yeah. It is. Yeah. It was so daunting back then. I was just like, oh, this seems so complicated. And then I guess the last job I had in sales kind of helped a little bit too, because I was selling marketing software to entrepreneurs at a company called Infusionsoft. So talking to entrepreneurs every day kind of made it less intimidating too. So I was like, okay, I think I could do it. I'm talking to these people every day that are out here running their businesses. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's incredible. And, you know, if you can sell Infusionsoft, which by the way, can be quite confusing, I mean that in the best of ways, it's a very powerful tool, but then I think it's easier to sell other stuff on the back
end of that. Confusion. Yeah, people sometimes joked with us on the phone saying Confusionsoft, so I'm like, definitely know what you mean.
Yeah, I always wonder if that's why they rebranded as Keep, but you know.
They were having trouble growing. It was a lot of pressure to grow working there, so they probably thought it was going to help.
Yes.
Yeah.
So since you've started a business, your business has taken off. I mean, teaching in front of Adobe's audience is an incredible milestone. You know, how are you getting in front of new clients today? Is it primarily referral? Is it publicity like teaching for Adobe? What does that look like for you?
Yeah, so mainly a lot of my business now does come from referrals now that I'm a bit more established, because in the beginning it was tough because I was like, oh my gosh, nobody really knows me very well. And I had been promoting a little bit, but not on a consistent, serious level. So mostly referrals and a little bit from like LinkedIn has kind of been a little bit easier for me over the last few years for like just getting the attention. Because for some reason, like with other platforms, it's just hard to even get the posts seen by your audience. And it's getting a little bit tough on LinkedIn too, kind of, but still, to me, that one is slightly easier without paying for ads, of course, than the other platforms. So yes, yeah, so I'll say referrals and then a little bit of LinkedIn would be my top two.
That's great. And we had interviewed Adrian Weimer, who's a LinkedIn expert, in an earlier episode, and she was sharing that there's just so much less competition on LinkedIn. So it is easier to post and get more reach with anything you share organically there. And I can imagine for you, your audience hangs out on LinkedIn a lot, and it's easy for you to kind of find your audience there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's what makes it easier too, because knowing that I want to go after like consultants or like speakers and coaches, I just love that I can see somebody's title and add them to my network, and I see they have the title. That's the title for my target clients, because on like Instagram and Facebook, sometimes I feel like I'm just posting and just throwing stuff into a void, hoping the right person happens to just see it.
Yeah.
Some kind of way. Because I'm like, I don't know who my followers are. I don't know if they even have businesses. Because you know how on those other platforms, people can just make up names.
Yes.
So you don't really know what they do or why they even are there. But I just like that I can see who's who the people are, and add specific people so they can actually see my content. I know it's being seen by the ideal clients. Yeah.
Absolutely. And most people don't have like optimized bios on Instagram. So you don't really know like what's their job title. What do they do?
Yeah. You have no idea. It's like this could be like a hobby page or just a personal page. They may not even have a business. It's like you don't know.
Right. So I think that's amazing. And then you also have this great free guide on your site that I assume helps you turn, you know, anonymous traffic into someone with a contact information. But it talks about how to build out a standout brand online and attract premium prices with your branding. So has that been something that you found really helpful in your marketing? You know, how is that going for you?
So that's been a good guide to kind of help grow my email list. Like I've been lately promoting it through Facebook ads because I had stopped using ads for a while. Like I got a few people from Facebook ads when I first, probably more like in 2019, honestly, and maybe late 2018. But I just started turn my ads back on like a few weeks ago, really. So they're new, but I've just been wanting to promote just a free download just to get people on my email list to keep them in nurture to see once they are ready for a website, then I have some new leads on there. So it's definitely been good for that. Then I have it as a pop-up on my website too.
Yeah.
So it's been good for there too. Like for people who may not be ready to schedule that discovery call right away, they can at least get on my email list and see the new sites that I'm launching and see my website tips and stuff until they are ready. So
I think that's super smart. And oh my gosh, launching ads a couple of weeks ago, it's a tough time because of all the tracking changes that are happening on ads. But mm-hmm. once you dial that in, it'll be a beautiful thing.
Yeah, yes, definitely.
So you mentioned that you have a newsletter and you keep in touch with your leads that way. Can you share a little bit more about how that works and what kind of content you're creating and, you know, how often you're sending that newsletter?
Yeah, so we're trying to get consistent with it because I had been really inconsistent for a while after getting a lot of people through referrals and stuff. But this summer, my referrals got a little bit slow over the summer because as we all know, business has ebbs and flows. So I was like, okay, I need to get back on my marketing and not be a slacker in that area anymore. So I've been trying to do twice a week, like Tuesday and Thursday or Friday, like Friday if for some reason I miss Thursday. So trying to stick to that twice a week schedule, for right now. And then like one day a week, I've been doing like a client example from my portfolio, kind of showing the work and telling the story of like where they were when they came to me and why they wanted a new website and the end result. And then the second email, I'll do like some tips and stuff to share to kind of give people some knowledge and show off my expertise a little bit too.
I think that's amazing. And oh my gosh, client stories are always help someone see themselves in the transformation that you've created. So I think that's really great content. And twice a week, I'm impressed. Like you say, you know, you mentioned that you're kind of just starting it again, which I hear all the time, but twice a week's not a small amount of content to create. So I think that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. And I will say too, so these are the things I do for email. I do repurpose it from social media posts too. So I'll do like a client, that same client that I'm sharing about in email, I'll post about it on social. So I just like double duty. So I can kill two birds with one stone with the content too. So,
yeah, I think that's such an important lesson for anyone who's listening. If you're on multiple channels, you know, how can you create a core piece of content and then use it on all the channels? So that way you're not creating unique content and feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm on this huge content treadmill. And I don't have time or energy to create unique content for every channel. I don't think that's necessary. It's just about catering the content to the channel specific requirements.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Just to get some different usage out of it so you don't have to keep writing different things and you can use what you write to the maximum.
Absolutely. You also have this amazing podcast for service providers. So can you tell us a little more about that?
Yeah. Yeah. So that was fun. I will say I have dropped the ball on that. I will say, and I haven't picked that back up because I actually have some episodes that I need to publish that have been recording for a while. But anyway, but it was a good, I did it, started about spring 2020, I think, was when I started getting consistent on it at that time up until like maybe early this year. So I made it almost a year, but it was still fun to just interview different service providers and kind of having them share their business stories and the ups and downs and like just different maybe mindset things they maybe had to overcome to get to where they are. Just to really share the transparent stories of people who were already selling their services successfully. Because I wanted to show people like, yeah, we're just like you. Because a lot of times on my discovery calls, if I got new entrepreneurs who seem to be just starting out, there seemed to just be a lot of like little confidence issues or things like that, or maybe them thinking like, oh, I can't do it, or not taking themselves seriously, I guess. And I'm like, everybody's been there. I'm like, we were all there too. But if you just kind of take a chance on yourself and you just push through whatever your obstacles are, then you can make it like the rest of us. So that was kind of the original intent of the podcast. So yeah, it's been a fun side little marketing project for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, all of that content is evergreen. So even if there's a little bit of a pause, I don't see why you can't repurpose that in a lot of different ways. And when I looked, you had like 58 episodes or something crazy like that. It was a lot of content you produced.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot I did that. I'm like, we get into content creation mode. I'm like, oh, I have done a bunch, haven't I?
Yeah. And I think how inspiring for your prospective clients to hear other people's journeys, because I think so often, what's that quote about, you know, being in the beginning or middle, but comparing yourselves to someone's end, right? And thinking like, oh, I'll never get there, or so-and-so's doing it better than me. And we often don't see that kind of messy beginning that everyone goes through, right? So I think that's just such a beautiful way for people to hear, oh, people farther along than me have been in my position too.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Just the transparency, because people are, most of the time, you know, like Instagram, everybody's like, I had a 10K month and I'm rich, and just all, just all the highlight reels. So it's like just hearing the behind the scenes beginning parts were like the real parts I wanted to share on there. So
totally. Especially like, I mean, having your own business, there's a lot of ups and downs. And when you're in a down moment, like you really need to hear that someone else has been in that same down moment as you, because like it can be challenging, you know? So knowing there's an end in sight and you'll get back up on the up moments, you know, in the near future, I think is helpful.
Mm-hmm. It definitely is.
So Keisha, if you had to give one piece of advice to another business owner who's working on their marketing and growing their business, what would that piece of advice be?
So I'll say this is something that I really, really regret now. So so I would say don't neglect SEO focused blog posts. I know that's kind of random, but that's something I'm working on now, because with social media now, there's so many changes with algorithms, even a bit on LinkedIn too. That was my old faithful, but even their algorithm is changing now too. And so now I'm looking back wishing I would have set up like some SEO infused blog posts a few years ago, probably like really in 2018 when I first quit, so I could have had more traffic coming in from those to get more leads that way and not just referrals, because referrals are good, but it's still good to have like an abundance of leads, like so maybe we could even have a wait list and that kind of thing, just feel like you always have plenty of work. So as soon as you can, like educate yourself the best you can on search engine optimization or hire somebody, because you can create like a blog post like 2 or 3 years ago and it could still be generating traffic and potential clients years down the line, which is a lot more efficient for your time too. Because the stuff we do on social media, we have to just constantly be on this hamster wheel to make fresh content, because a post only lasts for like 48 hours. But when you have like that blog generating traffic for you, bringing people to your website and then telling them for more, go over to your services page, like that goes so far, and that can be with you for years and you don't have to worry about algorithms changing or any of that stuff. So
yeah, I think that's so smart, especially like the whole digital world is so fast paced and so things can change quickly. And you know, I echo what you say, like one of our best pages on our site I created like 9 years ago for our business. This is a blog post and like I don't do anything and we get crazy amounts of traffic from that. And so if you have the bandwidth and if you have the knowledge or someone else who can help you, I think it's smart to do that. But I wouldn't just publish something without really understanding SEO and what's going to rank and what's going to drive traffic, because otherwise you're just kind of spinning your wheels with no return on effort, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. I definitely have to do a little bit of education first, and then once you figure it out, or maybe a course or a tool. This tool called Moz helped me a lot, M-O-Z.
Yes.
I did have to pay for it, but it helped take the confusion out of it for me. It helped me research keywords better. So
Moz is an amazing tool, and I think that's a great recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Keisha, I so appreciate your time and expertise today and sharing with everyone who's listening what you do. Where can they find you online, take a look at your services, book a discovery call, and just follow your amazing content and learn a little bit more about how they can position themselves and attract premium clients?
Yeah, where you can find me online at my website, it's keishamwhite.com, and I'll spell it, it's K-E-S-H-I-A-M as in Michelle, and then white, W-H-I-T-E.com. And then I'm on social media everywhere, the same thing, Keisha M. White on Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, and on Twitter. I don't really tweet things. but I'm everywhere on social media at Keisha M. White too.
Incredible. So those links can all be found in the show notes. So make sure to check them out. And thank you again, Keisha, for all your time and expertise today.
All right. Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed it.
Heck yeah. You just finished another episode of the Marketing That Generates podcast. I hope you found a few takeaways that you can put into action right away. If you want more on today's episode, head over to marketingthatgenerates.com for show notes, links, bonus resources, and related episodes. Plus, if you're looking to connect with other amazing business owners just like you, be sure to join my free community. You can get access at marketingthatgenerates.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll meet you back here next week.